Ed Miliband nor David Cameron will walk into Downing Street on their own after May the 7th. So, who will be at their side? That is the question that Nick Clegg asks this morning in an interview with The Guardian. He answers it too. Unsurprisingly, perhaps, he thinks it should be him. That way, we would get a coalition of conscience. Meaning what? Well, the Lib Dems are publishing their manifesto today, and I'm joined on the line by David Laws, the Schools Minister, the man who wrote it, or at least chaired the manifesto group. Good morning to you.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you.
Thank you, and you too. Now, the pitch is that coalition is a better government than a minority government, and you want to be a part of it.
Yes, I think a minority government probably wouldn't be good for the country. It wouldn't be able to deliver policies in a reliable way. We actually think the coalition has been very successful over the last few years. And what we're doing today, as you've indicated, is publishing our general election manifesto. I think the most detailed manifesto that we've ever produced as a party, a manifesto for government. But we're also highlighting on the very front page of that manifesto the key priorities of our party so that people can see very clearly, if they vote Liberal Democrat on the 7th of May, what we will use our voice to achieve in the next parliament, whether we're in government or not. We've put forward these policies, including the education pledge.
And let's come to that in a moment, if we may, because that's a bit of a leap in a sense, isn't it? Because what many people will say looking at you now is you're asking to be rewarded again, that is to say, having a large share in power, for perhaps doing worse than you did last time. I mean, if, for instance, you were to get half the number of seats you got last time, I'm sure you think you'll get more, but if you were, and the polls aren't very helpful for you, are they, then you wouldn't really have the legitimacy, would you?
I don't think we're asked to be rewarded. What we're saying is this. If there is no majority for any one party after the election on the 7th of May, we would have a responsibility on behalf of the wider country, but particularly our own voters, to do everything we could to deliver a stable government and to deliver as many of the policies in our manifesto as possible. And I can tell you, people in my constituency and Lib Dem constituencies around the country wouldn't thank us if we didn't use our position both to deliver a stable government for Britain, but also to deliver the things in our manifesto, the higher tax allowance, the balanced budget, but balanced fairly, and the investment in the NHS and the education service. I think that's what people would want us to do.
Well, except that when they look at the record and when they hear your leader talking about conscience, them being the party of coalition of conscience, they're likely to look at what you did when you were in power, and you will point obviously to some of those positive things that you did, but people will remember things like tuition fees. They'll remember that you didn't get the electoral reforms that you wanted. You didn't even support boundary commission reforms, which you had promised faithfully that you would do, and so on. And they will say, won't they, why on earth should we trust them again this time?
I don't think they will. I think what they'll see...
Or short memories?
I think what they'll see and what they'll recognise is that if you have a coalition government, if the country does not deliver one-party government, then no party in coalition can deliver all of its manifesto. We were hearing, weren't we, just a couple of days ago from David Cameron moaning that he wasn't able to deliver the increase in the inheritance tax threshold to £1 million, helping very wealthy people in 2010 because the Liberal Democrats made the personal allowance a priority. If you actually look at what we put on the front page of our manifesto in 2010, we put the increase in the tax allowance, we put the pupil premium to invest more in disadvantaged youngsters in schools, we put political reform and the stability of the economy. Now, most of those things, actually, we've managed to deliver in government. And I think if people are fair to the Liberal Democrats, they will recognise that we've achieved a huge amount of our 2010 manifesto. The characteristic of a coalition government and a hung parliament is that no one party can achieve everything in its manifesto. That is as much an issue for the Labour Party or the Conservative Party as it is for us. But I'm very proud of what we've achieved since May 2010.
But I mean, what you've done here with your manifesto is you've deliberately set out to produce a rather bland one. And indeed, so have the other parties come to that. There aren't the red lines that you would have had in a normal, full-blooded election campaign. You're all kind of dancing around each other, hoping to woo the fair maiden. In this case, you probably are, if you'll forgive the expression, the fair maiden.
No, I don't think there's anything modest about our manifesto at all. I mean, if you look at those policies on the front page of the manifesto, finishing off the job of balancing the budget, but doing so in a fair way, and we set out over the weekend all of the measures, including the tax tax measures we would take to do that, and not going down the route that the Tories have suggested of cutting public services and massive cuts to welfare. The increase in the personal income tax allowance to £12,500, that's not a modest thing. In the last Parliament, David Cameron was telling us in May 2010 it couldn't be done, it was so expensive. Massive and bold reforms in education and in health, 5 green laws to green our economy and fight climate change.
These aren't red lines, are they?
Well, they are. Well, I think Nick Clegg has said overnight that these things that he has asked us to put on the front page of our manifesto are the very clear priorities that we would expect to deliver if there is a
priorities are one thing,
election.
But red lines are quite another, aren't they?
Well, John, I think that you can read into it, including the lessons that we've had in government over tuition fees, that if we put these things on the very front page, the cover actually of our manifesto, we will expect to deliver these in government. What it's not sensible to do, and I'm sure you'll understand this, is to go through a manifesto of about 150 pages and pick out of all of those policies the things that would and wouldn't be red lines before we even know what the makeup of the next Parliament is.
Oh, no,
it would be an idiotic way of negotiating, and we can't possibly do that.
No, but what you can do and what you should do, what you're bound to do indeed, is to cost your policies. But your education policies, haven't they? You've relied on this old formula, rather tired, we're hearing it from everybody these days, we'll pay for it out of the proceeds of growth, which makes so many assumptions.
John,
you don't know where to begin.
John, it's not a kind of old, implausible formula. It is the way that every government and every Chancellor of the Exchequer budgets for the future. What we've done is we've taken let me just finish up on this point. Firstly, we published over the weekend, and we've done this in greater detail than any other party, all of the tax, the spending, the welfare measures to deliver not just our new policies in the manifesto, but the whole of the fiscal consolidation to 2017-18. No party has ever done that in a manifesto before. It's a greater degree of detail
than
ever.
We're talking here specifically about your promises on education.
Yes.
And there is no increase in funding for the first 2 or 3 years of the next Parliament. Pupil numbers are going up, teachers' pay is going up, schools are taking on extra pension costs, so on and so on.
No, what there is, John, is firstly the guarantee in the first 3 years of the next Parliament, between 2015-16 and 2017-18, that we will protect the whole of the education budget, not just schools, and by the way, we delivered that in the last Parliament, but also early years in 16-19 because they are so important.
So protecting the existing budget is not going to achieve what you want to achieve. They're
not going up, for example, for 16-19, but I do agree with you.
They certainly are for younger children.
I do agree with you. Over the whole Parliament, they are going to go up, and that's why we're announcing today this additional pledge, which is that once we have balanced the books, we will do something different from the Conservatives. They have said that they will go on cutting, that they'll run up a bigger surplus on the budget. We've actually said that we will then make sure that public spending as a whole grows in line with the economy. The priorities for that will be the NHS and education. And that is the money that we'll then put in the second half of the Parliament. That means that by 2020, we'll actually be spending £5 billion a year more on education than the Conservative Party.
But that
will help in schools, early years, 16-19. And it is the way any party budgets and any Chancellor of the Exchequer budgets. It would not be sensible for us to do it in any other way.
Right, but that, as you've suggested already, that's the sort of thing that you negotiated during your 5 years as a coalition partner. It's the sort of thing you could negotiate over the next 5 years if you were the coalition partner. I'm looking for something that you are, at this stage, saying there's no way we could do a deal with the Tories over that, or indeed there is no way we could do a deal with Labour over that.
John, I think you're being, if I may say so, rather modest in your outlook.
Typically.
on how significant these policies are. Balancing the budget by 2017-18 on the front cover of our manifesto is a massively important commitment, totally different from Labour. Doing so fairly is hugely different from the Conservatives. We're not going to go down the Conservative route, for example, of cutting early years of education, cutting 16-19, Nick Clegg said yesterday or the day before, not cutting the £12 billion off welfare.
Let me admit to modesty on that and move to something critical for you, and that is the European referendum. Is that a red line? An in-out referendum total promise from unbreakable promise from David Cameron.
Well, it's absolutely not the Liberal Democrat policy. And when you see the manifesto today, you'll see that we make very clear that the government legislated in 2010, 2011, that there should be an in-out referendum when there's a major constitutional change in Europe. And we think to have some sort of British-inspired referendum on a random timetable determined by the Conservative Party is not sensible. It would
right,
cast
it's a red
a
line.
Over,
in other words, it's a red
cast,
line.
It would cast a blight over our economy.
I'm asking you whether it is a red line.
What I'm not going to do is to pick out of all the policies in our manifesto.
Why not?
Because we don't know yet even what the makeup of the next Parliament is.
No, but you know what the Tories want to do if they get what are pledged to do. There is no way, as you perfectly well know, there is no way David Cameron could renege on that. He has to. His party would explode. He's got to stick
Well, maybe, but it's not the policy of the Liberal Democrats.
Right. Red line.
We don't want to see it in the next Parliament, but I'm not going to go through the manifesto.
No, I just wanted that one thing. If we can settle on that one red line.
Not red line. No, we're not talking the language of red lines, because what you could then do, John, is go through 150 pages and ask me for every single issue whether it was a red line or not. And it's just not sensible for anybody to negotiate that way. It would be a nuts way to do negotiation before a manifesto.
David Laws, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.